Thank you, Noah and Ellie and Heather. Wonderful praise team. My son Rob said we've got an awesome worship team here at Connections. It's one thing to be a praise team, but to lead us in worship, thank you so much. Wonderful. So I'm John Biker. I'm the proud father of Rob Biker. And if you permit me, before I invite you to follow in the scripture, 1860 is a page, a little book called Philemon that we'll be reading this morning. But I graduated from Calvin Seminary in the mid-1970s, and for the first decade we spent as a Bible teacher and helping develop a Christian high school. And then we were called, it was an unordained position, but we were called into church planting in the mid-80s, and we accepted the assignment to San Antonio, Texas. The church that sponsored us was right here in Denver. It was called Third Christian Reformed Church at the time. Now I think Hope Christian Fellowship, is it? And so we were ordained there at the end of 1985, September, and we were able at that time to have our family. We were living in Illinois, and our family came, Kathy and our oldest two sons. They flew, first time Rob flew on an airplane. I still remember the big smile he had as he came through the gates, because I met him, and this was the first time he'd flown an airplane in Denver, Colorado, and never mind the snow at the end of September, but it was just awesome, that experience. But I only tell you that because that was surpassed when Rob expressed the joy that he had to be your pastor, to be called to serve here at Connections, right here in Denver. And so I just wanted to share that. And there's one other little commercial, if you'd let me. Tomorrow, Rob's oldest, not oldest, but his third son, Jacob, is involved in a very, very competitive competition representing a small university of just less than 2,000 students, and in a competition where the 52 universities from the United States and Canada are in Orlando for a intercollegiate computer programming contest. And it's very, very rigorous. 5 straight hours, got to solve 10 problems. Nobody ever solves all of them. But the reason I mention that is if you would have an interest in just praying a 15-minute, we call it a prayer covering slot, over their team of 3 kids. Jacob's mainly said, just pray that I don't deal with it as a real big competition, even though it is. I just really want to continue to do it because I love doing those kind of things. God's given me some gifts to be able to figure out those sort of algorithms and everything else. Certainly didn't give that to me, but if you're interested, yeah, Rob's got a sheet of what we had put out as a possibility. It's my little commercial. Having said that, Philemon chapter 1, very small little book, 1860. And our message this morning is entitled Hearts Refreshed. And the call and the opportunity for pastors to refresh hearts, the hearts of God's people, as Philemon did, according to Paul. And we want to focus on refreshing our hearts through the preaching of God's word, refreshing our hearts through the call to turn to God, to repent, and refreshing our hearts with a glimpse of glory. Those are our points this morning. This message, Philemon chapter 1, first 7 verses. Paul, a prisoner of Christ, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Appia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, this is our text, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. So far, the reading of God's word. Also, verse 10:20, just in reference, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, this is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So friends, at the beginning of his letter to Philemon, short little letter, just 25 verses, what an encouraging thing that Paul says about Reverend or Pastor Philemon in this little house church. He said, you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Refreshing the hearts of God's people was very important to Paul. This ministry of refreshing hearts, hearts refreshed, was special to him. And he notes how Pastor Philemon had refreshed the hearts of those that he was serving and ministering to in the house in which that church was being formed and shaped. Elsewhere, Paul brags about someone named Onesiphorus, who often ministered encouragement to Paul while he was imprisoned. In fact, that's where Paul is writing this letter to Philemon. He's in prison. And this is what he says. May the Lord, he says this in 2 Timothy, he said, may the Lord show mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chains. Also, at the end of his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul mentions many pastors and leaders by name. And then he says, quote, they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. 1 Corinthians 16:18. Friends, today we are focusing on God's gift of refreshing hearts through the pastoral ministry. I remember the advice of an experienced teacher who once told me that she entered her classroom every day as if she had a sign on the door that said, quote, refreshments will be served here today. Now, I'm sure here at Connections, and we've already been invited to have some wonderful refreshments after the service in the fellowship room. But how special it would be if Connections was also known Sunday after Sunday as worship happens, live worship and preaching, dynamic preaching that really ministers through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it takes place right in this worship place so that a sign might be posted on our sanctuary door as well. Refreshments are served here today. Friends, our message map this morning has that call to refresh our hearts in Christ as a special charge as we install Pastor Rob this morning, to refresh our hearts in Christ. First, refreshing our hearts through the preaching and ministry of God's word. Even as Paul talks about the cleansing, the washing of the water of God's word in Ephesians 5. Secondly, about refreshing our hearts through the call to turn to God, to repent for the promise of times of refreshing that Peter talks about in Acts chapter 2 or 3. And then refreshing our hearts, third, by the glimpses of glory, the glimpses of eternity, the river of the water of life that the very last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22, talks about. So first of all, point number one, the call and invitation to refresh our hearts by God's word. Paul writes to the church in Ephesians. He writes in chapter 5 how Christ loved the church, verse 25, and gave himself up for her to make her holy. And then he says, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. The washing with water through the word. The picture here is in the same way that clean, fresh water cleanses our bodies, so God's written word can wash us clean deep down inside our souls. It purifies our thoughts, it scrubs our motives, and it cleans our consciences as we absorb it and as we obey its truth. God's word preached and unleashed by the power of the Holy Spirit washes us and cleanses us in refreshing ways. So Pastor Rob, refresh our hearts as you preach God's cleansing word to us. Psalm 1 also paints a picture of how delighting in the and meditating on God's word makes us, Psalm 1 says, it makes us like trees planted by streams of living water. The Bible says, as believers delight in the law of the Lord, and as his law and on his law, his word, his Torah, they meditate day and night, they are like trees planted by streams of living water. Psalm 1 begins this opening psalm of the 150 psalms. It opens it with really very basically understanding that a relationship with God is going to involve one of two roads. There's either going to be the way of the righteous or the way of the wicked. And those two ways of life, either toward God or away from God, each one either guided by the God who created all things, or instead self-directed, autonomous, a law to itself. And Psalm 1 opens with this word, blessed. Happy. The happy ones are the ones who delight in the word of the Lord. They delight in the Torah of the Lord. On that law, that word and will of God for all of their lives, they meditate day and night. And with it comes a promise that as we do that, as we really involve ourselves and allow the word to work in us, that the promise is to become like a tree beside flowing water, flowing rivers, receiving the nourishment that can come and is promised no matter what the harshest conditions might be. So imagine, friends, a lone tree in a barren desert compared to a lush tree by the water. The desert tree struggles to survive, while the riverside tree thrives, showing the difference between a life with God and one, or without God, and one deeply rooted in God and in his word. So just as a tree draws life-giving water from the stream, no matter the season, we too draw spiritual resources of life, drawing on God's resources like peace and strength and hope and joy and guidance and joy, even his presence through prayer, allowing us to flourish even in the most difficult times, with what elsewhere is described as a peace that transcends, it passes understanding. So Pastor Rob, let God's word lead you to refresh our hearts through the preaching, with the washing of the water of God's word that causes our entire faith family here at Connections to be like trees planted by streams of living water. Hearts refreshed through preaching God's word. Second, hearts refreshed through repentance, through turning to God. Now, I know repentance can be a negative word for many. Some hear of this word and think of the guy on the street corner with a sign screaming, "Turn or burn." But friends, the word repent is actually a positive and transforming word. Turn to God. Peter puts it this way in his sermon right after Pentecost, his invitation to people, when he says to those that have gathered, the many that have gathered, he says, "Repent then and turn to God, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Acts 3:19. Times of refreshing is a wonderful thing. Turning to the living, loving God from self and sin and the path of death can be the most freeing and refreshing thing in the world. And that word repent literally means to change your mind, to turn your mind. You used to think one way, and now you think another way. Like the Samaritan woman in John 4 at the well, we have an opportunity to experience refreshing in the presence of the Lord when we turn our hearts to Him and away from sin. If your life, friends, is miserable, or if living in the desert is unsatisfying and full of empty idols, you can find great relief because Jesus, who offers to carry this distress and burdens away from you, is the one who says, "The one who drinks of the water that I give will never, never be thirsty again." Years ago in the mid-1980s, the Chicago River became known as the Stinking River. Because why? Because of the meat packing plants, the tanneries, the forges, the factories who all dumped their waste into the Chicago River. Grease and filth and animal entrails and fats and all congealed into a nasty brew, a stew almost, that left parts of the river caked completely solid with parts gurgling up decomposing gases. When the great Chicago fire broke out in 1871, that grease trap called the Stinking River didn't stop the spread. In fact, it rather carried this fire deeper into the city, destroying most of Chicago, as we know. Even worse, the Chicago River then dumped all of that sewage and sludge into Lake Michigan, where the people of Chicago also pumped out the water that they drank. Thousands died of waterborne diseases carried by these rotting sewage waters. That's when some amazing engineers stepped in and built 28 miles of canals. They moved more rock and earth than was moved in building the Panama Canal. Locks and gates were set in, and finally, in the first days of January 1900, they opened the sluice gates at Lake Michigan, and the entire Great Lakes flowed into the Chicago River, pushing it in a direction that it had never flowed. They reversed the flow of the Chicago River. That opposite flow, with its huge flow of fresh water, changed everything. Instead of defiled water that diseased the community, the river now brought life to the city. Even the otters came back. And it was named one of the most important engineering projects of the last 1,000 years. Now, friends, the Bible says that every human heart starts out like the Chicago River. But as we hear Peter's call to repent, to turn to God, and then receive that great lake's living water of Jesus' work that floods our hearts and our lives, and we can become clean and free and actually experience times of refreshing. The flow of your life and my life can be reversed. Times of refreshing. So, Pastor Rob, we invite you to refresh our hearts through the preaching of God's, the washing of His Word. But we also invite you to refresh our hearts with a call to repent, to ever turn to God from sin and self and receive this amazing times of refreshing. And then lastly, thirdly, refreshed for eternity. Friends, do you ever just get sick of the sadness in this world, the brokenness, the curse of sin? Why is there so much heartache? Why so much trouble? Why so much death? Why do we shed tears so often? Do you just get sick of it? I do. What if there was a way to be refreshed in the hope by that beautiful picture that the Lord paints for us at the very end of His book, the very last chapter, that starts out with these wonderful words? Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. And on each side of that river stood the tree of life. And the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations. That literally means all kinds of people. No longer, and this is the key, I think, no longer will there be any curse. In this glimpse of this river, refreshing river of life that flows from the throne of God, We understand and we realize this water comes directly from God, from His throne. And this image of the river from heaven offers hope for our future, where all needs are met and where there's no more suffering. In this glimpse of glory, we see all sorrows gone. We see that there's no more tears. We see that there's no more sadness. This crystal clear river flows from the throne of the Lamb, says Revelation 22. For the Lamb is the source of our peace. The Lamb was slain for our sins. The Lamb was sacrificed to pay for our wrongs. The Lamb shed His blood to buy us back and to have realized for us the perfection which we had lost. And we see with joy and great refreshing this declaration of God Himself, that no more will there be any curse. But how will we get there? Remember, Psalm 1 tells us about our relationship to God, that there's only two roads that end up in two destinations. In fact, ends with, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There are two orientations in life, either toward God or away from God. Only two ways of life. One guided by God who created all things, or it is self-directed. And that law unto itself, that way unto itself, that will perish. I did it my way. friends, can become the national anthem of hell. So Psalm 1, verse 6, the psalmist says the end of these two paths. For the Lord watches the way of the righteous. And that's an amazing word, that he watches over. Actually, other versions literally say he knows the way. And the word there, knows, is a yada. It's the most intimate word you can use. It's the word that's used when it said that Adam knew his wife. There's a special kind of knowing that the Lord promises for those who are on that way of the righteous, a way toward God. Not one detail will escape God's notice. He paves each step of their lives with his providential protection. He surrounds his children with his tender care, and he's committed to providing for their needs. And as we choose to know God's way, we come to discover even more amazingly that God knows our way. That's his promise. That's his guarantee. But then we also note the other way. The psalm ends, but the way of the wicked will perish. The other way, the wicked way, away from God, an empty way, like chaff that the wind blows away. There's nothing to it. Emptiness. Psalm 49 tells us even more about this perishing. Verse 10, the foolish and the senseless alike perish and leave their wealth to others. Their tombs, their graves will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands for themselves. But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. Friends, to perish for all eternity is a horrific and terrible thought. For all eternity. Arthur Stace of Sydney, Australia, was gripped by the horrors of an eternity perishing without God. As a young man lost and shackled by his alcoholic addiction, he heard a sermon entitled Echoes of Eternity, preached by a Baptist preacher, John Ridley, who kept preaching, eternity. I wish I could shout that word to everyone in the streets of Sydney. You've got to meet it. Where will you spend eternity? And those words for Arthur Stace, where will you spend eternity, so captivated his heart right then and there that he pulled out a piece of chalk from his pocket, bent down, and though he was illiterate, he wrote that word actually that you see on the screen in an amazing script on the church floor. He asked Jesus to forgive and save him. And then for the rest of his life, for over 35 years until his death in 1967, this redeemed alcoholic woke up every single morning with a mission to scrawl eternity in chalk somewhere in Sydney, Australia. Some estimated he wrote that single word, eternity, over 500,000 times in 3.5 decades. And Stacy's word etched itself into the heart of Sydney, so that the New Year's celebration in 2000 for the new millennium, that word, eternity, in the script that Arthur Stace used, was emblazoned across Sydney Harbour Bridge and later was part of the 2000 Sydney Olympic opening exercises. Friends, there is more than the here and now. There is the hereafter. And what about your eternity? Where will you spend eternity? You've got to meet it, friend. Where will you spend eternity? So, Pastor Rob, God invites you to refresh our hearts by preaching his word. And he invites you to refresh our hearts with ever calling us to turn to God for times of refreshing from our sin and self. And Pastor Roth, God invites you to refresh our hearts with these amazing glimpses of glory. Glimpses of eternity to keep us on the path where God knows our way. Well, as we close, there's also a challenge this morning for our Connections congregation. May we also be charged to receive and accept our new pastor, to pray for him, to encourage him, to serve alongside of him. Today we encourage our new pastor to refresh our hearts with this charge through the preaching and through turning to God and through glimpses of eternity. But friends, may we also be resolved to refresh and encourage the heart of our pastor. Ministry can be difficult and challenging, demanding, often filled with lonely discouragement and even self-doubt. The 50th anniversary of my Calvin Seminary class of 1974 had to be canceled because too many, far over half of the original classmates, had entirely left the ministry years before, most because of discouraging reasons. Paul once wrote in 2 Corinthians to some who had previously shown a lack of commitment to the gospel, but now were responding positively to the gospel. And Paul writes, he says in 2 Corinthians 7:13, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his heart has been refreshed by all of you. His spirit has been refreshed by all of you. What a great gift a church can give to bless its pastor by refreshing his spirit. Throughout the year and throughout the seasons that you are together, maybe there be a refreshing encouragement, a cooperation, yes, forgiveness, but an ever continual spirit of blessing, the one that God has called and sent to minister to us for such a time as this. Friends, as we prepare now to go to God with our closing prayer, may it be said of us, all of us, that together we blessed and encouraged each other in such a way that the biblical proverb will be true here at Connections. She who refreshes others will himself, herself, be refreshed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we celebrate along with Pastor Rob and Kendis his installation here at Connections Church as minister of the Word and Sacraments in the Christian Reformed Church. Together as your people, we affirm his call and gifts to ministry to be your servant and leader among us. By the anointing and guidance of your Holy Spirit, may he refresh our hearts through the true preaching of your word, through a faithful call to us to turn to God, and through his ministry, may we ever see those refreshing and glorious glimpses of eternal realities. And may we believe and by your Spirit grow together, both spiritually and numerically, as we connect with you and impact our community for the glory of God and for the blessing of many people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.